Why Pure Possibilities? When you're in the state of pure possibility, anything is possible. You can go up or down. The choice is always yours. We're getting ready to step out of our comfort zones, get through all that life throws at us, find what feels good, and have some amazing conversations. I'm your host, Shannon, and we're going to empower you to create a life you absolutely adore. Are you ready? Let's get to it. Welcome to the show, Lauren. I'm so excited that you're here. And I am excited about all of the goodness that I believe you're going to share with us, because an embodiment coach, therapeutic breathwork facilitator, nervous system trainer, and clinical therapist, how can you not have loads of goodness for us?
Well, I am excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So would you mind sharing, obviously, I just shared, you know, some of your credentials, but how did you get involved in this line of work?
Oh, it has been a journey. So I think I got into therapy, into mental health years ago because, you know, I'm not sure why exactly that started, but I just couldn't really think of anything else that I would do. And so I went the route of clinical social work. And over the last like decade plus being a licensed therapist, have really just been finding over and over again that talk therapy only gets people so far. Yeah. And so over the years started pulling in more like somatic therapy kind of options. And that led me directly to breath work and through my own practice of breath work and working with other people, just finding a home, finding safety in their bodies, and watching anxiety and depression like significantly reduce for people in somewhat like really rapid time frames sometimes. And I was like, wow, this is just like absolutely amazing. And even for myself, just watching my stress level go from 100, like, and just kind of notching down and down and down until like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I'm still stressed. Nobody's going to get rid of stress. Nobody's going to get rid of anxiety or depression, because those are like normal things too. But you just deal with them a lot better. And so I just keep coming back to embodiment. Like, oh, it's embodiment. It's embodiment. Get in your body. So here I am merging all of them and like just wanting to share it with everybody.
So if people are unfamiliar with breath work, could you describe how it works?
Yeah. So there's different kinds of breath work. There's a lot of different styles. There's different intensities, various schools of thought when it comes to what breath work should be or could be or is. But breathwork itself in general is just a way to take this thing we do every day, which is breathe, and make it conscious. So we're being mindful, we're being very intentional with our breath, and with our intention, we're getting to direct where our breath goes and how we connect with our body using our breath. So our breath becomes this vehicle, this bridge to get at the root of what's going on in the body, various like emotional spaces, emotional blocks. What is breathwork? It's conscious, intentional work with the breath.
But not just like stopping and taking a deep breath. It's a real intentional, like starting from the diaphragm and going up, or how, like belly.
Yeah. So definitely not just taking a deep breath. There are lots of deep breaths in breathwork practice, most definitely. But yes, breathwork is like, it's work, right? It says work, right? It's right in the name there.
Right.
So it can be. It can be hard. It doesn't have to be hard, though. I think with the training that I had, it is very trauma informed. It's very titrated. Like, we're not here to, you know, hit you with hours of intense breathing and activating the body. So, breathwork sessions look different just depending on what somebody's wanting. It can be more activating. It can be really energizing. We can also tailor it to be just very soothing, very relaxed, very calm, very meditative. Mm-hmm. Either way, you're getting taken somewhere else mentally and emotionally. It's an experience.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So how frequently do you recommend that people have a breathwork session?
So you don't need to do breathwork, intense breathwork every day. I wouldn't really recommend that, especially if you're really working to address a lot of emotional stuck points. Like, it can be a lot. It's really overwhelming potentially. I would recommend like daily having some kind of shorter practice, just because it gets us in our body. It gets us connected to who we are. For longer breathwork sessions where you're going to be breathing for an extended amount of time, I mean, you can do it every couple of days, once a week, and you're going to get benefit from it. You're going to get benefit from it if you do it once a month. You're going to get benefit from it if you do it once a year. I definitely recommend more than that to keep the benefits going, because in this embodiment work, in emotional processing, de-stressing, energizing, whatever your goal is, using breath work to be embodied, it's a journey, right? It's not a destination.
Right.
We're never going to hit a point where we're like, oh, I don't get stressed anymore.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, not in this world.
That's for sure.
Not going to happen.
So in some of the information that you had sent to me before we met, you had mentioned, or actually no, a question that I have is, how do we know if we have a dysregulated nervous system? Because you talked about doing work with a dysregulated nervous system. Like, how do we know if we're like out of alignment and we're dysregulated?
Yeah. Well, one, you can probably just assume that you do.
Most people are dysregulated,
most people,
right?
are pretty dysregulated emotionally. And that's like definitely not a judgment.
Right.
We just get dysregulated. So signs that we're dysregulated, that our nervous system, like we'll bring it back to our nervous system, because it's not that you're dysregulated. Okay. Your nervous system is. So are we irritable? Are we anxious, depressed? And that's more than just like a normal fluctuation of like anxiety or depression, again, because those things can be normal, but it's more chronic states. So do I always feel on edge? Do I just tend to be irritable all of the time? Digestive issues are actually a sign of dysregulation, nervous system-wise. Feeling, I mean, literally out of alignment. Your body can be out of alignment, and we can have different pains. If we get sick a lot, we can have an out of alignment nervous system, because our immune system is also involved in all of that. And so I like to think, you know, when we are regulated, when we're in alignment more with our highest self, we're fairly calm. We're fairly curious about things, so we don't really make a lot of like snap judgments. Or if we do, it's passing. Our brains just do that kind of. So, knowing you're dysregulated is like, it's actually hard to tell. So even with those signs, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we in this culture, in this society, we are accustomed to feeling bad. We walk
almost like addicted to it, right?
And, yeah. And that's not our fault. Like, yeah. This world we live in has set us up to be very like, go, 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 go. Like, we don't stop. We don't, you know, you mentioned earlier, like, is breath work just taking a deep breath? Like, and yes, at, you know, at its foundation, because we don't stop to do that either. And so it's often not until we get really sick or something major happens that we really even take stock of how am I, like, am I actually okay? Like, how am I really? Because we wake up and we're already tired. We feel stress immediately because we have a to-do list 20 miles long. And some of that's just really real, right? We have a lot to do. Yeah. I've got kids. I've got a job. I've got things to do. I wake up and I'm like, oh, here we go. So we're not taught to take stock of that. And so it's those big things, like big accidents or big illnesses, big things that make us finally say, like, okay, how am I really? Or, yeah, we feel so stressed. We end up like, I don't know the exact statistics, but a lot of people go to the hospital with anxiety or chronic stress because it's impacting their body so much. So it's easy to tell if we're looking for it, but we're not looking for it because we're so used to just being uncomfortable
and in that high stress mode all the time.
Yeah. And yeah, how many people walk around with like back pain, shoulder pain, and we just are like, oh, this is just how it is.
Yeah. And to know that we actually have the power to change some of those things. And yeah, I mean, one of the things I talk to my listeners a lot about is, you know, finding the things that feel good, you know, to really lift your spirit, lift your energy, and focus on that. So like, how do you go about connecting to yourself on a daily basis?
So I mentioned, right, we get up in the morning and we're like, what do I got to do? I'm already stressed because I'm already behind because I already have so much to do and I should have gotten up an hour ago.
Yeah.
But I'm tired. I don't want to. So I like to start my morning really intentional. And before I get out of bed, if I can, right, we're not perfect. Mornings aren't always perfect, but mornings are never perfect, I should say. If you've got kids, it's always fun.
That is so true.
So just being really intentional as I can be in the morning. I try to, before I get out of bed, give myself a moment to check in. How am I? Like, did I have stressful dreams? Sometimes, right? And we wake up and we're like just in a state already. And so just to check in the morning and let myself breathe a little bit and actually like land back in my body before I like deliriously jump out of bed and try to start my day. And I do find things go so much smoother when I don't make myself rush.
When you take just that few minutes even to really just connect. It's interesting that you talk about asking yourself, like, how am I really? That's something that I've kind of been doing lately. Like, really? How am I? How am I doing today? How am I feeling? How am I, you know? And I think it's important that people do that check-in because there is always so much going on around us and chaos and go, 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 go. But it's like just stopping and really taking a second or a minute to check in and connect.
Yeah. I tell people I work with all the time, I'm like, it's that simple and it's that hard.
Yeah.
Like, it is so hard to do those simple things and to make that a habit. And, you know, again, it's our culture where we are often just taught that that's the way to go. Like, we have to be stressed, so we keep going, which that is actually like true. We do need some stress. It's actually beneficial to have some stress. It helps us. It's motivation. It's energy.
Yeah.
We need our stress system in our body. So it's not as simple as I need to be in my calm nervous system and not my stressed out nervous system. No, we need both. Like, there's actually combinations of both. It can be quite lovely. So
that's interesting. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say that we need to have healthy levels of stress. So why is that?
Yeah. So our sympathetic nervous system gets us going, right? We think of it mostly as our fight or flight. And so we think of it as anxiety and stress and like, ooh, that's bad. I shouldn't be there. I need to be in my parasympathetic, or sometimes it's called the ventral vagal part of our nervous system. But stress is motivating. And so if we think of like having deadlines and things, right? Like we need to get things done. We need to pay attention while the baby's eating, so the baby doesn't choke on something we gave, right? Stress helps us like stay on top of things and it keeps us going. And part of our nervous system is actually responsible for how we socialize. So that's really important as a human. None of us live in a bubble.
Right.
Sometimes we might wish we did, but yeah, we don't. So play is just a huge example of a mix of your nervous system states. So when you're in a play activity, and again, I'll just use kids as an example because it's just relevant in my life right now. But when we play with our kids or play with anybody, I suppose, have fun. I need to always call it play, but we are energized, right? And that is our sympathetic nervous system. That gives us the energy to move around and and just be active. But we are also in that ventral vagal because we're calm, we're connecting. And that's how our social interactions are using our nervous system, or our nervous system is used. I don't know what came first. But so our sympathetic nervous system is important. It is necessary. It gets things going. It gives us energy. I'm not certain we could get out of bed in the morning if we didn't have that sympathetic energy. And yeah, when it's mixed with that ventral vagal calm love, we get our play state. So we can just have fun, because if we were only in the sympathetic and active in that, there's kind of this, you know, anxiety and fear that's there. When we mix in that ventral vagal parasympathetic, like some people call it the rest and digest, but when that's mixed with our sympathetic, we have this relaxed energy. So we can actually like let our guard down, have fun, laugh a little, be silly.
And really, as often as we can, get into that playful, fun state. I mean, sometimes I like go to the park and I swing on the swings and, you know, I mean, I don't have young children, but I do things that, you know, even when I'm by myself, to just find that play and fun and
find that
balance.
Yeah. And I love that for you. I would love that for everybody. We don't play a lot as adults. We don't give ourselves permission to go to the park and have fun. Like most of us grow up like only wanting to go to the park and have fun, right? Like priority number one, like I want fun in my life. And then it switches somewhere where we're like, I don't have fun anymore.
Well, I think some of that comes from being afraid that people are going to judge us, you know, like. There's some, like, I'm almost 50 years old and I'm at the park swinging on the swings, you know, and I don't have any young kids, but I'm having a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are judgments, unfortunately, but it's like only from people not having fun.
Exactly. Exactly. And I just decided I got to the point where I'm like, I just don't care. You know, I'm having a good time and it's fine with me. So,
yeah. Well, and as you said earlier, you know, talking to your listeners about like connecting with what feels good. Mm-hmm. Like if it feels good and it's not hurting anybody, I'll say like, it's wonderful.
Yeah. That's funny. Like, I don't remember a lot about my childhood, but I definitely have been reconnecting back to some of those things that are fun and playful. And, mm-hmm. you know, when we do look at children and they're having fun because there's no beliefs and all of this stuff that's been put on them that we have mm-hmm. as adults that have come on to us over all these years. And, you know, it's such a great way to just reconnect, I guess, with your inner child or whatever. So,
yeah. Yeah. Reconnect to that. Like, I don't care. This feels good. It's fun. Yeah, it's like fun. I have this, I don't remember a lot about my childhood necessarily either, but like bits and pieces, it comes back. Like, but I have this one memory of like walking home from school in like fifth or sixth grade. And it must have been like almost summer because it was pretty warm outside. And I remember like I was wearing jeans and a shirt, and I just like my sister and I like threw our bags down, like got the hose out, like plugged the sprinkler in. We're like playing in the front yard in the sprinkler in our jeans, like didn't even bother going in the house and changing. And like, would I do that right now? I could. But there would be a lot more work involved in my process. Yeah. Like, okay, is that really what I wanted? Like, just let go, right? Plug the sprinkler in.
I totally get that. Because even like with the park and the swings, it took me a few times going on walks to decide that I was going to do that and not care what anybody thought.
Yeah. Yeah. That little voice that's like, go play.
Yeah, go play, go play, go have some fun.
Yeah, yeah. And then our, you know, naysayer voice, like, ooh, yeah, what would people think, right?
Yeah, I actually ran into it. There was a guy there with his daughter, and I was like, don't mind me, I'm just swinging on the swing. You know? And I said, just trying to remember what it's like to be a kid. And he's like, and I was leaving, and he was like, I really admire that. Like, yeah. So sometimes when we find the play and the fun, we inspire other people to do the same. So, I mean, and he was even there with a kid, so he could have easily gotten on the swings and not look like a crazy person.
Yeah, no one's judging that, right?
Yeah, nobody's judging you when you're there with your kids.
Yeah, well, and that's a good point too, that when we're in our joy, in our authenticity, just like letting ourselves be, that's a contagious thing for other people. So mm-hmm. when you're in that play state, when you're in like a ventral vagal nervous system state, other people respond to that and they see that, like, and admire it, right? I appreciate that he was just able to even connect with that truth for himself. Like, yeah, like it seems like it feels good.
Well, yeah. And then we're like giving other people permission, you know, that mm-hmm. they might feel like they need to do that on their own because they might not feel safe enough to do that, you know,
yeah.
or bold enough or.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like at a party, nobody goes to get food until the one person right. goes to get food yeah. first. Like, okay, it's safe. I can go.
Yeah, why do you get some that? Chip.
Yeah, I think there's such fear of judgment, and it's part of our stress response. It's natural. Also, belonging, being accepted, is a basic human need. Essentially, we need other people to care for us, and so growing up, we often get little messages as kids, and a lot of this is totally not like malintentioned by our parents and caregivers, but we get praised for not being our authentic self, for not expressing our emotions, for not doing something that seems out of line. And these are all like societal judgments, right? Of like, mm-hmm. don't take too much, like be quiet, sit still. We get praised for those things that aren't even natural necessarily for adults. We've all just programmed ourselves to fit in. But oftentimes when we are fitting in, we are not being our authentic self.
Right.
So you could be starving at this party and like just keep looking,
like waiting for that person to go.
Yeah. Like, can I go over there? It doesn't feel safe yet. And what doesn't feel safe? Because obviously it's out, it's safe, right? Go eat mm-hmm. it. That's what it's there for. Why would it be there if you couldn't have any? But what doesn't feel safe is that like it feels wrong, because that's in our programming to need permission, explicit permission, essentially. It's not fair. And yeah, there's like etiquette, right? We don't we've got some rules we need to follow.
Right.
Like certainly a lot of the things that our nervous system has been conditioned to fear is not something we actually need to worry about.
Yeah. So like, how do we move through that and work past that and change? I mean, I guess it's just each of us living in our authenticity and giving people permission to do the same that starts to change that.
Yeah. And we often have to, heal that emotional space. We have to heal that wound in our bodies. So like, come back to the embodiment, right? We can't really talk our way through that one. I mean, we could in a way be like, I'm going to challenge myself to share first at this women's circle, or I'm going to be the first one to go get a hamburger at the barbecue or whatever. We can cognitively tell ourselves these things, but like when the time comes to go do it and we're just in our head going like, okay, you got to do this. And like, we're paralyzed. Like I've had this experience in different situations in which I'm like, I want to talk, but I'm not opening my mouth. Like, yeah. What is happening? It's because there is an emotional stuck point. There's a trauma of sorts, and we store that in our body. And so we can't, most of the time, we're not going to get through it until we've moved that through our bodies and moved on from it, because it's paralyzing.
Yeah.
Because if something for our nervous system has gotten to the point where it's like, that's not safe to do that, it's not safe to speak up, right? How many of us don't ask for what we want in so many areas of our lives because I don't want to upset people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be wrong. So many reasons to not say anything, even when cognitively, like, it's okay, I can say that. But like, nope, my mouth's not opening. So being intentional, being conscious of it, and being really open to working with that and establishing this sense of safety in our own bodies, that it's okay to feel the fear associated with it. It's okay to feel the potential pain of somebody disagreeing with you or of saying not the right thing. When, you know, just like a simple example of like, you know, someone asks you what that actor's name is or something, and you don't say anything because you're afraid you'll be wrong. Like, what's going to happen if you're wrong? Yeah,
what's the worst that could happen, right?
There's not always a lot of consequences, yeah. But the fear there is still like, I don't want to look dumb or stupid, or we have all of these stories associated with things. And so when we can be aware of all of that. So it does take a good deal of awareness and that willingness and openness to be with yourself, to find those fears. And you can use breath work, right? Breath work's a great way to target those things, to breathe into them, to make space for them. And honestly, I'll say like a huge key factor is you have to have acceptance for that part of you.
Yeah.
You're never going to hate away or shame away part of your behavior, because it's your nervous system responding. Like hating yourself, judging yourself, that's not really going to be helpful. So learning that piece of acceptance and understanding, like, then we get through it.
Right. And then really learning how to sit in that discomfort and how it feels in your body.
Yeah.
And
right.
And
move.
Yeah. And move through it. I mean, I know that when I do that, the next time it's a little bit easier, and the next time it's a little bit easier. And yeah, just really learning how to sit through that and let it be uncomfortable, right?
Yeah. One of the biggest motivators for us as humans is avoidance of aversive stimuli. So we don't like to be uncomfortable.
No.
It's not a thing that our mind sits well with. So we will do whatever it takes, and unconsciously, right? This is where we have that like retraining kind of our unconscious. Some people call it like reprogramming, but I kind of like to think of it as like, once we like heal the wounds we've collected over our lifetime, we're not really reprogramming, because we're just coming back to our actual like open state, I suppose, of that curiosity, that calm, that sense of like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And so it's always that journey again, right? So as you're saying, it gets easier maybe every time, and it's probably never going to get to a point where we don't think about that, or we're not re-triggered into that way of being or thinking or that pattern, because it's in there.
Yeah.
So it's just that constant daily, what am I willing to face and sit in? Can I be uncomfortable just for moments? Because that's the thing, right? It's not actually for that long.
No, you're right. It's literally just moments.
It's moments.
Yeah.
Like when we actually allow ourselves to go with the discomfort, to be in something that, yeah, we don't have to want it still, but when we're open to it and just let it be, it's often like a couple of minutes at most that an emotion is going to be there, that discomfort is going to be there, because when we stop fighting it is really when our nervous system is like, oh, okay, like this isn't a problem. Great.
And then sometimes it doesn't feel as bad as you anticipated. Sometimes it's just our belief about it and how bad it's really going to be, and how afraid we have decided that we are about it. When we move through it, it's maybe not as bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually not as bad.
Yeah.
Most not of the time. Bad, not as scary. There are exceptions to that rule for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing's perfect, but it's also like, I'm just thinking like, as we're saying that, like, right, being like maybe scared for a performance or something, or having those nervous jitters. And then like, let's say you totally do blow it and you like fall all over the place or something, like that's still okay. Because ultimately nobody really like what, you know, I guess unless you're trying to be like a prima ballerina and that was your shot with, I don't know, somebody from a fancy ballet company coming to watch you, like, then that sucks, right?
Right.
That is stressful. But when, you know, when we fear the stress is usually when it gets bad, right? And it's we probably mess up really bad if we're going with this example, because we're so stressed about not messing up.
Right. Rather than just allowing it to flow. And So I wrote down something that you had said before, clearing the emotional stuck points. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
From the body to plug into the infinite energy source and understand human experience so we can be present and learn to dance with the flow of life's experiences.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Dancing. Yeah.
Because it is a dance, and it's really getting into the flow of the ups and downs and just dancing our way through it, right?
Yeah, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Dancing your way through it, fully recommend. back to play. Yeah, dancing is really fun. If you just let yourself go, can be awesome. But yeah, I think the flow of life is, it's ups and downs. It's pain and it's pleasure. It's light and it's dark. There's going to be times that are more light, that are more flowy, and there's going to be times where there's more stress. But ultimately, it's balanced. And when we can balance ourselves within that and just kind of be aware, we have so much more ease. Like, we don't have to have it easy to have ease. Right. And I just love that distinction, because you don't have to have no stress. You can have a stressful life, but if you can learn to process that emotion. So the emotional stuck points that I would be referring to are when we like hold on tight and clamp down and try not to feel certain emotions or sensations because we're so uncomfortable with it. Think of your body like a big filing cabinet, like for emotions, for pain. Usually it's not the good things we store, right? Because we're not wired to want to store or feel like we need to store positive things, because we just let those ones come because we're like, oh, I like this. So the more we put into our filing cabinet because we don't want to feel it, the more stuck things get. And honestly, like, there are a lot of like evidence-based knowledge that our emotions affect ourselves physically, whether it's chronic stress and how that messes up your gut, your digestion. Like, migraines can be just chronic stress when there's no other like physical indication. So like, right, whenever we have these physical things going on that doctors are like, I don't know, doesn't look like you should be having pain there. Like, I will say at least some of the time, right? I'm not a doctor, so I don't know all about it, but like more often than not, we're attaching to pain somewhere, and it's unconscious. So it's not, you know, it's not that it's not real, or it's not that it's like in your head, but when we attach to it, when we try to deny it, I guess, and fight against it, is when we get ourselves into trouble and get things stuck. And so as we were talking about, just that willingness to feel into the discomfort, to sit in the discomfort, to sit in pain, it comes and it goes.
We can allow it to flow through us.
Yeah.
Rather than just stay stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's different, like, you know, pain in our shoulders or shoulder blades, our neck, it's often associated with this burden, right? Because like the weight on our shoulders. And usually that's emotional. And also we can correct that with body changes, with posture, right? If we're carrying a lot of tension and we're just like rounding our back and shoulders all the time, we can release a lot just by moving our body differently. So there's lots of different ways to have like physical therapies that can help move emotions through. Even you can get a massage and start sobbing because your massage therapist like gets in a certain spot and like, oh, well, turns out you had a lot of stuck emotions there.
Yeah.
Maybe you weren't aware of it. So like, let it flow, let it come out. It's actually a wonderful gift. It doesn't always work out like that. So sometimes we need to be more intentional with letting go.
Being intentional. And I think also just the awareness of all of it. So what would you recommend? Let's say somebody's, you know, wanting to feel better and they're feeling stuck and they're feeling like their nervous system is dysregulated, what would you recommend being the first step that they take?
Pay attention, right? Be intentional with how aware you are. Non-judgmentally, of course. Like, we don't want to go through our day being like, we're not judging ourselves. We're just paying attention. And starting to just practice releasing things, like playing around with it, like try breath work, try stretching, right? Like, go to yoga, do something that is gonna be different. Just pay attention to your posture. When we start to get intentional with ourselves and to be open with moving those things through, we can start to listen to our bodies. And this is just one of the reasons I love breath work so much, is that we let go with our mind. We're not thinking through this. Like, I heard this wonderful quote before. It's that our body thinks in feels. It thinks in feels. So our mind thinks in words. Mm-hmm. Our body thinks in feels. So when we can just feel and not think about it, that's the sweet spot there. And like a breathwork practice, you're gonna get into the feeling. If you can keep practicing and let go with your mind, we're never going to, like, the myth of meditating, of like clearing your mind. That's like never going to happen. You're not going to clear your mind. Nobody is. I don't know what that would mean if you had like no thoughts. Like, I feel like that's, if you've had no thoughts, come talk to me. I would like to
no, seriously,
figure out what's going on.
But I think that's what that stops people so much from meditation or maybe even breath work, you know, because it's like they think that they have to actually stop their mind, actually shut it off. And that's just not, that's not really a thing.
It's not really a thing. Not realistic. It's not even necessary. Like, we don't have to stop our mind. We just have to learn how to like anchor ourselves down into our bodies. And that is by feeling. And so, like I said before, like, your breath can be a vehicle. Your breath can be the bridge from your mind to your body. And when you are in your body, when you're embodied, you can just let yourself do the things that your body innately knows to do. So we can let our body dance it out or move it out. Or we can like, if that's what my body's asking for, I can like make weird sounds. And it's fine. It's our mind that stops our body, because the fears, the judgments, like fears of judgments, really. Like, I don't want to look weird. What will people think if I'm making guttural noises? And like, and I was like, who cares what other people think? Other people are going to judge you. I'm just going to say that. Like, and it's fine. You swing on the swings, right?
Like, yep.
Doesn't matter what that person over there is thinking. They're just jealous anyway.
Exactly.
They just want to play and they don't feel like they can.
They don't feel like they can. Yeah.
But yeah, our body knows. Like, it knows what it wants to do. And I think one of the fun things about being aware and paying attention is that you start to notice the things that your body wants to do more. And it's entertaining a little bit. Like, I try to get my clients all the time to like shake with me, right? Shake it out.
Yeah.
Like, just move your body and shake. And 90% of people in my office like won't do it. Like, they can't allow themselves to shake. Some people can, but I take a deep breath a lot, just because like I think I've trained my nervous system like that just feels good. But once I take a deep breath, I have a really hard time not shaking. Like, because my body's like, oh yeah, like let's
go.
Yeah. So I will often like take deep breaths like with clients and things at work, And I always have to explain, like this is just like my body just is asking for this. Like, what's your body asking for? And again, like it takes people a while to want to do it because they feel silly. But like, I'm like, all right, well, I feel good.
Well, and you doing it is kind of giving them permission to do the same, right?
Yeah.
Like opening, inviting them to do it. Yeah. So I imagine in your breathwork classes, it's very similar, right? That you're giving people that invitation to just shake it out and be silly.
Yeah. Yeah. Let it come, like in breathwork. And I will say it is totally fine if you want to have the stillest breathwork practice and you don't want to move. But if that's the case, I hope that is like the stillness that your body's asking for and not that you're like, I don't want to look weird doing this. Like, you know, I'll say, can we just all look weird together?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had breathwork sessions that I've participated in that like, I don't want to move. Like my body feels good being still except for the breath. And I've also had breathwork sessions where I'm like, I'm going to just wiggle the whole time, like moving something out. Or sometimes you can get tingly fingers and hands and feet, and different physiological things happen with breath work just because we're altering like our physiology when we breathe differently. So it's not dangerous, but it makes us want to move a little bit. But I mean, I've had breathwork sessions in which when they're in person, it's nice because as a facilitator or as a participant, it's nice when someone can come up and support you physically with touch, like to help you release things. But that's like back to the point. I went on a little tangent there. But
that's okay. It was a beautiful tangent.
Yeah.
Being in our body.
Listen to your body. What does your body want? Does it want to move? Great. Like in the town where I live, there's frequently this young man, I don't know how old he is, like on the corner, like maybe waiting for the bus. I don't know. Maybe he's just standing on the corner, but he's always dancing.
Like, there's a guy by my house that does that too. I'll be driving down the road and he's like dancing and moving. And I'm like, I want to be that guy.
Yeah, I know. Every time I see him, I'm like, I feel your joy, man. Like,
yes,
keep it coming. Like, if I didn't have to get home and make dinner, I'm tempted to join you. Like, let's just dance.
Yeah, it's again that invitation for people to be themselves and feel in their bodies and do all the things.
Yeah. And like, are people judging them on the corner dancing? Sure.
I'm sure some are. I'm definitely not. Yeah. I'm like, that is awesome that you feel so good about yourself that you can go do that and not care what anybody thinks.
That level of authenticity, right? When you see that and you're like, oh, like, yeah, I feel good because you feel good.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
It's so contagious. So contagious.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I love this work, because I really believe when we heal ourselves, we're healing other people too. And maybe that's through permissioning. Like, maybe it's just vibes and energy, right? Like, I don't know. There's lots of ways we can influence people, but
yeah. I think it's a combination of all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, yeah, why not heal myself? Why not heal yourself? Because it's just going to have ripple effects.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty awesome. And, you know, unfortunately, the other side of that is true as well. Like, when we are not healed, when we are in our wounds and in our pain and stuck in that, we've all been around that person.
Yeah.
And been like, ooh, like maybe we don't know why, but we're just like,
ugh. You can feel that energy.
Yeah, like my body hurts now.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta do a little raising of our own energy. Yeah. Intentional. Comes back to that. Being aware, being intentional, and just letting yourself go.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. So if people want to connect with you, Lauren, how would we go about doing that?
You can find my website if you want. It is nurturedself.org. I am also on Instagram at the_nurtured_self. That's a mouthful, but those are ways to connect with me. And I think, yeah, those are my main outlets at this moment in time. But I would love to hear from people.
Do you have any offers available right now?
I do. I actually have a guide, if you will, of 7 ways to soothe your nervous system and allow yourself to de-stress. 7 easy ways. So probably some of the things we talked about here would be on that guide. But the idea is fast, simple little things that are going to bring about micro shifts. And oftentimes when we're really stressed out, there's not going to be one thing we can do that's going to erase everything, but it's in practice. It's in the little things that we do. It's in the micro shifts that build up into the bigger healing. And So I've got that guide, and that is available for anybody who wants to grab it.
Is that on your website, or is that something you can send me the link for and I can put it in the show notes?
You can put the link in the show notes. It's also going to be on my website. Okay. So
we'll put both of them there, so it's easy access for everybody.
Yeah. I want everyone to feel good in their bodies, to have a nervous system that can respond instead of reacting all of the time, so we can get better at managing through this crazy, stressful life. Because I'm sorry, I can't do anything about.
Right. If we could, we would, for sure.
Yeah. That'd be like going upstream, finding the problem. But I think that's an unsolvable one, at least.
We can learn how to manage our way through
this time. Yeah. 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 So until then, my mission is like, let's get your nervous system healthy.
And find some fun.
Find some fun. Yeah. It's really like, it's what it's all about.
It is. Thank you so much for spending time with us and sharing all of that. I love it. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I learned a lot, actually, and it's amazing. So thank you for coming on and sharing with us today.
Yeah, it was definitely my pleasure, and it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I will nerd out on the nervous system, self-care. Love it. Let's talk more.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Shannon. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode of the Pure Possibilities Podcast. Let's work together to align your heart, mind, energy, and soul. Check out purepossibilities.net to register for Mindset Magic, my new free monthly group coaching session, or schedule a consultation to explore how private coaching can help you to create a life you absolutely adore. If you enjoyed today's episode, hit that subscribe button to stay connected, share the love with your friends, and leave a review. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. Much love.